Hello, and welcome to Stoner Chicks Podcast, the podcast for stoners by stoner chicks. I'm Grace Penzel.
I'm Stephanie Thompson.
And I'm Phoebe Richards. And hey, Grace, what's in your pipe today?
What's in my pipe today, Phoebe, is that we've got some very exciting guests on the podcast.
Oh.
And I cannot even wait to introduce them a single second. That's right. We have the hosts of the Talking Potheads podcast, which just premiered 2 days ago, Ashleen and Riley. They are also the founders of Take Root Training that helps bud tenders learn how to tend us the best that they can. I've met them. They're incredible. They're chronic gals on Instagram. We love to have them here. Welcome, Ashleen and Riley.
Wow. Thank you. Such a wonderful welcome.
I know.
So great to be here.
That was quite the intro. I loved it.
Grace has been very excited for us to meet you. So by proxy, I'm so excited to have you as new friends.
New friends. Taking root together.
That's right.
And we have to ask you right off the bat, because you have been in the cannabis industry for a while. And before we even dive into any getting to know you questions, what are you smoking?
Great question. We are very excited to share what we're smoking today. We have two different strains from the same grower, producer, processor. The producer processor is Honeydew. I'll show you their label in the thing video. And they're out of Bellingham. They're so good. We met them also at the Northwest Leaf Bowl. And I'm not like a Jack Herrera person because it gives me anxiety, but this is amazing. It makes me so happy. It's vanilla lime, the Jack Herrera XJ13 cross. And this will turn your frown upside down.
It's just really good. And it's super flavorful. The aroma is amazing, super smooth. Yeah, it's fantastic. So far, everything I've had from them is great, which is like two things.
It's amazing you bring that up, because just last week, the three of us sitting right here, were all smoking Jack Herrera.
It was Kayla and us, but yeah.
Yeah, so, it's true. Yeah. And it was kind of interesting because we actually have a segment called Terpene of the Week, which we'll get into more later. But we were talking about terpinolene, and they were all smoking Jack Herrera, which tends to give me a little anxiety. I was smoking on some Super Silver Lemon Haze, which hits me a little better. But it's good to hear that this Jack Herrera cross from Honeydew that has lime in the name, which I'm
right.
A fruity bitch, but
no, I agree.
Yeah, I would love to try that out.
I agree that you're
awesome.
A fruity bitch. And also, that sounds great. I can't wait to try that. Sorry, I got excited listening. Continue.
No, it's okay. But speaking of fruit, I'm actually smoking on a strain called Electric Watermelon from Passion Flower.
Ooh, that one's good.
I like that.
Yeah, and Passion Flower, I really like because I know that they're pesticide free, but they're not as expensive as some other top shelf producers. So I've been really excited with them. And then I topped that with a little bit of the Passion Flower CBG dominant strain that they have, which is OG CBG. And it's boasting, tasting like citrus, gas, and orange. So that's kind of my little salad bowl that I've got going right now. Steph, what are you smoking?
I got this joint from a friend after my show last weekend when I was so busy. I love to smoke a joint after my theater shows and in the alleyway. I feel like, I don't know. Anyway, I love that feeling, but I forgot to bring one. And my friend was like, oh, just take this. And so she just gave me, it's wedding cake. And it's a Girl Scout cookies mixed with cherry pie, and it's from Redbird. Never heard of them, but I don't take my friends. It's a free joint. I don't sneeze.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't kick don't a free joint out of bed.
You exactly. Know? Oh my goodness. And Phoebe, what about you?
I am smoking a hash infused ice water extracted. It doesn't mean anything to me, but it's what it says, and I've been told that's good.
We can teach you.
Oh, nice. That's by Bubble Works, and it just says hybrid, but I don't know what it's a hybrid of. And I just lit that up right as we started talking about what we're smoking, and I already feel great.
That's wonderful. Well, we want to dive right in because Ashlyn and Riley have a wealth of knowledge about cannabis. And before we ask you a million serious questions, Phoebe has some questions to warm us up. Or was that it?
I thought that they had a second thing they were smoking. Did I make that up?
You did not. And we do have a second strain that we are smoking. We're smoking also from Honeydew, Heady Eddie, which I don't know anything about because I don't have the label. But it smells really good.
Okay.
And it gets you high. So quality.
Check and check.
Yeah.
Heady Eddie, which is funny because we just talked about a new weed company called Happy Eddie in an episode a couple weeks ago.
The Real Housewives of Potomac
husband sure is.
I'm a Real Housewives person too.
So am I. I'm the one of the only stoner chicks that is.
You and me will get high. We can get high. Please. And just binge.
Please. Yeah.
Love it.
I do have some get to know you questions. Everybody must know this. What is your preferred way of intaking cannabis? Mine is a bong, preferably an ice bong.
I'll go first so you can hit that bong, actually. But my favorite way to consume is a joint. I think number one is a joint, and then number two is a bong. I just love the ritual of like rolling up and stuff. And like, I've tried rolling joints angry, and it forces you to calm down and like, think about what your hands are doing. And it kind of like, even before you get high, kind of calms you, gets you out of that state.
Mindfulness.
Exactly. So I love rolling joints. I've gotten really, really good over the years. I love rolling joints in a moving car. Don't smoke while driving, but I'm really good at it.
Part of me assumed you meant while driving.
Well, obviously. So yeah, those are my two favorite ways of consuming.
The amount of times I have accidentally dumped a bunch of flour in my lap because I was mad rolling a joint or like just not taking my time to do things right. And it like the part of my hand is a little sticky and it kind of sticks and I'm not paying attention. And it just bloop down my lap. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're right about mindfulness.
What about you, Ashlyn?
So for me, there is nothing like a huge bong to just chug out of.
Agree. Love it.
Yeah, there's like something to like the thickness and the weight of it. But also joints are just so wonderful. So I think number one for me would be the bong and then a joint.
Mm. Great answers. Next, almost as important question. What is your favorite stoner snack? And I would love one sweet entry and one savory entry.
Ooh.
I request that, please.
Great question.
I'm going to say, first of all, like honorable mention to blueberries and other fruits like that for as a dry mouth cure, as like a really fast dry mouth, because it just gets the salivary glands going. And yeah, just nice little fruit. But favorite sweet is ice cream.
Mm.
Love ice cream.
Yeah.
Love the perfect consistency of like a partially melted ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And then for savory, I would probably go something like chicken wings, something
Ooh.
Crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
Like fried chicken. Yeah. I mean, I don't ever get that, but it would be like a sensory explosion. That's what I want when I'm high, you know?
Yes. Yeah, the crunch.
I'm not going to like necessarily take the time to get it or make it.
No,
but that's what
not.
I would want if I had just like one of those, you know, microwaves that I could boop, make whatever I wanted it appears.
Like in Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Like chocolate or milkshake. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Spy Kids.
Or Spy Kids, yes. Yeah. What about you, Riley?
I think right now what I've been eating as like my munchy savory edition is like ramen. Just like kitchen ramen, but also like making it fancy in my head.
Like an egg.
Adding an egg. Yeah. Or like making the sauce really nice and like all of these things, pretending you're like chopped.
I've been getting thinly cut steak and then just doing a little bit of that, really lightly cooking it and then putting it in boiling water.
That's a very like buff style.
Yeah.
Hot pot style.
Totally, totally.
And then my sweet, I think, is probably like chocolate or candy, probably like an M&M.
Ooh, like plain? Are you a plain M&M girl?
I go between plain peanut and almond.
Wow. You'd never catch me eating an almond M&M.
Oh, no, me no.
Oh, they're so good. They're so good.
I've talked about this before on the podcast. Almond's a garbage nut.
That's Stephanie's hot take.
Especially when it's wrapped in chocolate and candy.
That's hilarious.
It's great. Those are amazing answers. I feel like I've gotten to know you really well over and out on the getting to know you portion of interview.
Oh my goodness. Well, now that we've gotten to know your deepest proclivities, we can move. I wanted to start with some business and then we're going to kind of move on to some party on the back end of the episode. Great. So,
love it. Cool.
First of all, I want to know your sisters, correct?
Correct.
Or siblings? I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Sisters.
Your sisters.
I feel like I just asked you all these other questions. I had no idea. This changes everything. I don't know why, but this, I feel like I haven't been a good friend. I'm glad I know this about you now.
You know, most people don't think we're sisters when we first meet people. Like, it's usually like, oh, yeah, you guys are just like best friends.
Right.
But it's like, no, sisters.
So. And then you clue them in and they're like, oh, I get it.
So I kind of want to know, how did the two of you get started in the cannabis industry? And how did you come to starting Take Root training together? Were you both bud tenders? And what made you decide to get into business together?
Ooh, what a story.
You can start that out.
I was the only one who bud tended, but I started bud tending in 2015, just as the industry started legalizing.
Right. And this was in Washington State because Ashleen and Riley are joining us from Vancouver, Washington, which is close to Portland, but still in Washington State where Phoebe and Steph and I all are.
Correct.
Which is so fun. We've been doing our own podcast recently with people from all over the country. And so not a lot of our brands match up. But like as we're sitting here smoking together, I'm like, I know Redbird. Yeah. I know who you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. So.
And passion flowers from Vancouver. So
yes.
We love passion flower.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Let's see. We, at that point, 2015, we had been smoking for, I guess, going on 5 years at that point. Riley started smoking first. Also, she's the younger sister. I'm the older sister.
By how much? I want to know. I have a sister too.
Almost 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But Riley started smoking first. I started smoking shortly after that. And we just kind of fell into it like wholeheartedly. It became a lot of our personality. It became a lot of our socialization. But we saw a lot of our friends were using it for medical reasons. Our dealer at the time, we were really lucky. She would lay out like 15 different strains that she got from a medical dispensary and would teach us about the differences between them. And so we actually got to learn weed in that way, just being discerning about which strain that you want to take for which experience you want. So taking that forward into legalization, I had a marketing career going at the time, and I just wanted like a second job bud tending. I just kind of wanted to get my foot in the door, see what was up with the industry, and happened to get a job at the Herbery down here in Vancouver. They had just opened their second store. They were pretty good reputation in the community, but it was like the early days of the industry. Things were changing so fast. There were farms coming up, farms going away. Joints were $15. Like cheap grams were $10. Like everything was super expensive. It was just
wild.
It was just wild. So yeah, I started bartending and kind of kept educating myself on the floor, having to teach people, teach customers and answer their questions. And I myself had to go and learn all of the thousands of pieces of inventory that are available in a dispensary and how they each differ from one another. I became pretty successful at that. I was definitely one of the top people on staff. People, I had customers who would come to me. You would wait for, you know, me to be done with somebody to get my help. And I don't know, we also just had a community of, we would teach each other. If obviously we all couldn't try everything. So we all talked about what they felt like and how they were different. And we all used these crazy descriptive words that really explained how Gorilla Glue makes you feel stuck to the couch in a way that Super Lemon Haze doesn't, you know? And that was just kind of the culture. Eventually, I kind of made a marketing position for myself for the herbary. I was like, you guys need someone to manage your social media. You guys are trying to grow. Let me do that for you. This is my background. And it ended up being me becoming the director of marketing for them and starting them on their own training journey. But in that marketing journey, Riley came on board and would help me on random projects that I couldn't like pull bartender help for. We ran their t-shirt shop for a summer and sold paraphernalia for them at like the Wine and Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Riley was just like always there, a helper part of whatever I was doing. And then eventually we decided to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about the podcast?
So we started the podcast, like the idea was born in 2017 out of the Herbary Outfitters, which was the marketing side of the Herbary. And it was just us getting high, having really awesome conversations that like expanded our mind. We would laugh, we would cry, you know, we started to bond over these conversations.
We can relate.
Yeah, right. And we were like, bruh, we need to start a podcast. Like, we are so funny. We need to start a podcast. People need to hear what we're saying. And like any good podcast starts as, you know. Mm-hmm. And Ashleen was getting great samples from the herbary. I was working in coffee. I was a barista working in specialty coffee. And so I kind of wasn't bud tending, but I was talking to people about different varietals of coffee mm-hmm. and how the slight things would change the taste and all these things. So it was kind of like parallel, same, but different. So as I'm learning this coffee and this coffee jargon and applying it to my weed, because I would smell the weed and be like, oh my gosh, I smell the citrus and I smell the pine and the gas and all these things. And that all makes me feel a certain way. And my cafe was next to a really great pot shop. And so I would spend my money, my tip money at the pot shop getting super good weed. And so we started the podcast and it started out as being like a review podcast, kind of learning about the industry. We talked to industry professionals. We got high with a bunch of people and that was very, very fun. And then the pandemic happened and we had to go like virtual podcasting. And that was fun because we got to access more people from around the country. Like, it was no longer just the network that we had here in Vancouver. It was like across the state and in California and Oregon and overseas, you know? Mm-hmm. So we just got access to a bunch of other people and a bunch of different perspectives along the way. And then we were trying to build a cannabis community. We got on Clubhouse. We tried to do a Clubhouse room, and that ended up just being like four gals talking about our problems with the industry. And that just was like mostly the dispensary. And the problem that we had at the dispensary was that we weren't getting serviced. Like, we knew a lot about weed, but why did we have to tell the bud tender about the weed that they were selling us? Mm-hmm. So those conversations kind of bore take root. So all along the way, from 2017 to 2021, we were like Chronic Gals, and then Take Root was born from the community that Chronic Gals kind of created.
Great. Well, thank you. And then, so what does Take Root Training do?
Yeah. So Taker Training is a budtender education and dispensary training, or we create budtender education and dispensary trainings. We've created a course that's everything that you need to know to sell weed in a dispensary. We go from the history of cannabis to cannabis science, like active compounds, terpenes, your endocannabinoid system. Then we break down each product type. So, you know, what's a flower? What's the flower? How would you sell the flower? How are concentrates made? How are edibles created? And how would you sell these products to different types of people? We realize that there's a lot of training out there on the market, but it's a lot of brand-centered training or just like overall cannabis information. Nothing was like directly centered on the budtender.
Sure.
So we include customer service skills. Like budtenders, that's a really hard job. You have to know so much about like a plant that most people don't really care to know about. But like you are the only person talking to the consumer. So,
and people are asking you wild questions. Like they come to you hurt and want you to help them. You know what I mean? Whether it's like they have, you know, super dry skin or psoriasis patches and they're looking for some sort of cream, or it's people who are on opioids and they're trying to get off. Like you talk to people in from such a huge demographic, range of demographics. And you have to teach them about all of these different things and help them navigate all of the different options to find exactly what would be helpful for them.
Right. It's incredible. I think it's really valuable what you're doing and what you're providing. And to have it be separate, as you said, from any association with a particular brand or retailer or grower who has an agenda and a certain lens on whatever information that they're putting out there. I want to know from you, a customer walks into a dispensary and the budtender has a couple of questions to ask them. I kind of feel like, and I have a feeling you agree with me, that the wrong questions tend to be getting answered. Like you're saying that someone could be walking up to you and you have no idea who they are, what their problem is, and what they're coming to you for. And the blanket question that I as a consumer tend to get is, do you tend to prefer indicas or sativas? And that doesn't seem to fit anymore. What would you say are like a few top questions that Take Root would recommend for bud tenders to ask in that first part of an interaction?
Great question. I really love just like, what kind of experience are you looking for? You know, just ask, let them start the conversation.
What are you doing today?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. How do you want to feel?
Mm-hmm. You know, like, why are you, not like, why are you taking it? But like, what are you going to do after you consume? Because like, are you going to go on a walk? Then you don't want GMO. Are you trying to like chill out? Then maybe the GMO will work. You know, so it's like, not necessarily indica sativa. That I got asked that question the other day and that messed me up, you know? Like,
yeah, totally.
It throws me off, and it shouldn't throw me off, but I'm like, that's not what I'm like sativa, like I almost want to ask, what do you think sativa mean? Like, what do you mean when you are asking indica and sativa? Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you, I want to feel chill, but not totally sleepy, but like kind of happy, but not like sad. You know, like there's like a whole description of how I want to feel. And indica, like, do you want indica sativa hybrid is not helpful.
It's just limiting. It's limiting the whole conversation to just what the not even what the potency is, but just like what we have a whole episode about the indica sativa hybrid conversation coming out. And
it's so excited.
It's a really good one. Yeah. And so now whenever I hear indica sativa, it trips me up even
boils
more.
Boils your blood.
Which,
I can only imagine.
Absolutely.
This is how I want to feel. This is how I want to feel. And I think part of it is a little bit of training the consumer also to ask in that way. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of consumers also don't know. They don't know. They don't know what they're about to experience when they walk in the door, especially if they're a first timer. And so if they get over and over indica or sativa or you want to see what's on sale, or do you just want to see what the highest THC is?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to train the consumer to look for that.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what happened to me when I was younger, certainly. So you mentioned the podcast, your podcast Talking Potheads just came out. What are some of the biggest things that have come up in recording this podcast in terms of issues with the industry that come up over and over again? And whether that's Washington, or you said you're talking to people all over, sort of what are the things that the people that you're talking to are facing, and what can we look forward to if we tune into Talking Potheads?
Well, Talking Potheads goes along with our curriculum. So we wanted to be able to have a free resource for budtenders who aren't able to afford some sort of like course, and their dispensary isn't willing to pay for it, or they're not working it. So we've been able to speak to a lot of experts about a lot of different things. And one thing that I think it was with Dr. Cody Peterson from the Kenigma, love him, shout out. There's a lot of misinformation in cannabis culture that just gets turned into fact because people have said it over and over again for 40 years. For example, mangoes have myrcene is a myth that we busted.
Oh,
on Talking Potheads. So tune into the terpene episode.
Huge, if true.
Huge, right? Well, there's a study. He references a study. It will be in the show notes, yeah. I'm sure. But yeah, apparently mangoes don't have the myrcene that we thought they did, which is a terpene that the mythology has said that there's a lot of myrcene in mangoes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you eat a mango along with smoking your weed, it's supposed to make you feel higher.
Ooh.
And
I'll take that challenge.
I don't know, right?
The mango challenge.
Try it out.
But it's fake, Phoebe. It's fake news. We just found out.
I know, but it just sounds good to eat a mango.
Life is a test.
Yeah.
And this was even a point of the whole thing, yeah. Was that like, if the risk is eating a mango and not getting as high, like what is the risk? If the risk is cracking black pepper and breathing it in to see if it helps cut your high, what's the real risk there?
Absolutely. Sneezes.
Exactly.
This leads me into my next question, and then we'll get to a smoke break. But my last question, kind of on the business end, is it can feel daunting and expensive, like you mentioned, to navigate the legal industries as a consumer. And especially, like you said, walking into a store where there's hundreds of product on the menu that were all grown by different farms of different names that have different harvest dates, that have different buzzwords, like Phoebe had shouted out earlier. What were you saying about the ice water hash?
Oh, yeah.
Ice water hash. These words that are kind of mystifying. And so what I want to ask is, what should we as consumers be looking out for to take care of ourselves and our bodies? And I know this is not a medical podcast. None of us are medical professionals. But as you said, the field of healing tends to kind of trickle in here. And just like we're mindful about the food that we eat, we need to be mindful of what we're putting in our bodies. And some of these flashy brands and growers are incentivizing the retailers to push them. And so I want to know from you, kind of, what are the things walking into a dispensary that we can be asking our bud tenders or looking for to take care of ourselves?
First, right off the bat, the thing that pops into my head, which is probably going to make you maybe not the favorite person in the dispensary for a minute, but it's important for everybody, ask for a COA. It's a certificate of analysis. Every batch of weed that comes into the store is required to have this. This is where your lab test results are going to come from. And you as the consumer have a right to see that. Whether or not the bud tender is going to know where the COA is or what a COA is, is another issue. But that will tell you, like, if they use a pesticide or, like,
or even the terpene breakdown.
Terpene breakdown.
So if you're targeting a certain effect, you can find the strains that actually have the blend that you want.
Right. Or like if there's a lot, the moisture content of your flower or whatever. So there's like a lot of information on there that might seem, it's like a little daunting to read, but we have a whole episode of the Talking Potheads that talks about how to read it. And I think all the consumers should listen to that episode because I learned a lot. I had no idea what I was even looking at on the COA. So it's just like a lot of really good information, especially if you use the cannabis for medical reasons. So that's where you're going to find out about a lot of like the growing practices and testing results for your product. So that's what I would, as a consumer, start asking. Because if we, as consumers, don't start asking for things that are going to benefit us, mm-hmm. the dispensaries are never going to implement it. Of course. So enough people keep asking for the COA, they're going to have to put it somewhere. You know, like if they're constantly asking for the COA and the COA is like in somewhere that's right. unaccessible.
It takes 20 minutes to get to it.
Someone's going to say, let's get a binder for the fucking COA. Sorry, but we can't. Right.
Oh, please cuss. Oh,
no, you can you absolutely can fucking cuss.
Yeah. But you know, like I could imagine being a bud tender and not having a procedure for the COAs and a bunch of people asking about COAs, how frustrating that would be enough to implement a process.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so if we're asking for it, then hopefully the process will be created.
I love that. Power mm-hmm. to the consumer, power to the people. We're the ones that are supporting the industry and we're the ones that need the support. And with that energy, I would like to take us into a smoke break.
Ooh. Thanks, Grace.
Oh, welcome back from your smoke break, stoners. We are here with Ashleen and Riley of Talking Potheads Podcast and Take Root Training. And we've got a little something special for y'all.
Ooh.
We certainly do. We do something here on every episode where listeners send in their high thoughts and we get to think about them while high.
Cool.
Love that. Yeah, this is our first high thought from Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda,
for sending us these high thoughts. Why does the consistency of food matter? Why is jelly acceptable on a sandwich, but strawberry syrup is weird? Same thing for Nutella versus chocolate syrup. Discuss.
Interesting. If it's like a sandwich situation, the syrup is just going to melt into the bread.
Yeah.
So it, yeah. So it's going to be like, what is the point? Like, it's just going to be like chocolate bread and it's going to get squishy and then your bread is going to get soft.
If you're going to do that, it's got to be like a French dip situation where you dip and immediately eat. That's when you could maybe get into syrup world.
Or you could put a layer of like peanut butter, because my dad would make peanut butter and honey sandwiches for me. Mm. Boom. And you would have like two sides, and then the honey wouldn't soak into the bread. You would put it between two slabs of peanut butter.
My daughter likes only honey sandwiches and only honey sandwiches. So it's just like two pieces of bread that are stuck together.
That's so funny.
It's a silly sandwich to me. She won't eat anything else.
I think that there's something to that, though, like the Nutella versus chocolate syrup. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Riley, that it would just be a soggy mess if it was just syrup, but that it sounds like in your description, Stephanie, that the peanut butter, because it's oil-based, it's acting as a barrier, the lipids in the oils are acting as a barrier
yes.
from the water base or whatever else, like liquid base that is in any other syrup or whatever you would have going on.
Yeah, it kind of keeps it encased from soaking into the bread. So the bread still stays fluffy. And then as you eat it, it's almost like a gooey little middle, like a gusher of syrup.
Thank you for saying so. I just, Amanda had suggested that in a chat on Instagram, and I kind of got a little heated. So I was holding my tongue until someone else said the thing about it soaking into the bread.
I will say I finally tried that Nutella Uncrustable.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And debatably, I think it's better with the strawberry. That's like a little peanut butter jelly sandwich. Nutella, it's like a dessert thing. It's weirding me out.
I heard someone was air frying Uncrustables.
That would
and so
be
maybe
good.
That would be
air
good.
Frying the Nutella
yeah,
would be
I
a better.
I toasted it and got it toasty, and that was the best it was. And I ate it as a dessert. Like,
yeah,
after
that's what I would do.
A meal. Yeah. Yeah. Whereas normally they're just like a daytime nummy little snack that I could eat anytime.
A nummy
oh
little
my gosh.
Snack.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for that question.
Thanks,
we love talking about how things feel in our mouths here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're
and
like babies.
Sorry. We actually doing a double high thought today, so because we got double the guests. So we're doing
double the fun.
Thoughts.
Double the thoughts. Double trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This next high thought is from Elise, a.k.a. Plantamama on Instagram. If two birds are sitting in a tree bullshitting about the day, what are they talking about?
Ooh.
And we do have a response as well that I'll read, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
I think they are talking shit about other birds, for sure.
I think they're talking shit about the things that they're seeing inside of people's windows.
Ooh.
I'm like traffic patterns.
Traffic patterns, probably.
Yeah, like, and they're like, oh man, it's so messy in this house. You gotta come look at like what a wreck these people are. Or like, hey, these people are fucking over here.
Yeah. Or that's not Charles.
Oh, you think birds
yeah.
know human names? No.
They probably they make up might. Their own names for us.
Hmm.
Sure, sure.
I'm gonna disagree. No offense. Guests. sounded, now I made it sound offensive. But I think birds are doing their own thing and pretty oblivious to us. At least our interior lives. I don't think birds are looking in our windows. I would say like cats, other animals.
No, crows
spying.
Absolutely know our movements and what
yeah.
we're doing.
That's a good point. Well, the crows are plotting against us.
Well, we feed our crows. We like actively yeah. throw nuts out and leave them present. And yeah, I took my kids out with little scraps of foil and nuts to like try and make friends with the crows because my son's been talking to the crows since before he could talk.
It's good to make friends with them. I somehow made their enemy list and
I want them to
attacked.
Bring us gifts.
It's bad. Yeah, I get attacked.
Oh,
so
bummer.
It's terrifying
but
out
leave
there
them,
for me.
Feed them. Feed them nuts and then they'll attack you for nuts, I guess. Maybe don't.
Yeah, I won't know. Wait, I'm like, are you coming as a friend or a foe? I don't know.
I just am imagining Phoebe walking nuts, down the street, nuts, just nuts. Frantically throwing nuts as crows are attacking.
And then
her.
I'm like, oh no, I'm just throwing almonds. They're the garbage nut. No wonder they hate me.
Don't slander almonds.
Big almonds coming for us.
Our neighbor volunteers at the food bank, and for some reason, they just get an ungodly amount of pistachios. And so she's always leaving pistachios on our porch. So we often will throw out like the pistachios.
That's my
crows.
Favorite nut.
That's a good nut.
Right? It's confusing, but they are show on. So I don't know if that makes a difference.
Oh, probably. It's hard to open them. Especially if you had
the
like
crows get a puzzle.
Yeah.
What was the answer that the
yeah,
person?
The answer is from Jeff.
Oh,
as
an
we
answer?
Know. It will, one, yeah, it was kind of a response. And it was like, they're flirting with each other, it's gross.
The birds are like whistling to each other and chirping at each other and being.
I mean, birds are fucking
nasty.
Loud.
Well, I was
they
see,
are.
I was thinking
and
of
they're
it.
They're fucking loud.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of it from a scientific standpoint. I'm like, what actually is the purpose of birds singing and their songs and the different sounds that they make? and we don't really know is what I understand. But in my head, I would love to think of it as they're actually creating music together and they're just riffing off each other. So when one bird in one tree does a little tweety, tweet, tweet, and then another bird from a different tree is like, tweety, tweet, tweet, tweet. And then the other bird, another bird's like, tweet, tweet, tweet. And they're just like riffing off each other, you know, like it's like an improv jazz sesh.
Yes, I love that.
Absolutely.
Last night we were smoking outside and there were three owls in three different places, like triangulating themselves. And it was like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Wow.
And they were so loud, like incredibly loud.
I love owls.
It was spooky. Yeah. It was really cool.
Wow, wow, wow.
They're spooky, but I also like, I think they're like good omens as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Totally. They feel like kind of like protectors or watchers.
Absolutely. Good omens. Well, thank you so much, Elise, for that wonderful
question. Thank you, Elise.
I love ones about animals.
It's true. It's true.
And thanks for helping us with our high thoughts. You can send your high thoughts to stonerchickspodcast@gmail.com and address them to Stephanie. Dear Stephanie, I hope you're happy and well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the end of me.
I was worried.
Oh, well, unfortunately, Kayla's not here, our fourth stoner chick, but she does this segment on our podcast called Terping of the Week that we mentioned before. And we thought it would be fun to do a little game with you guys
because we know that you have a terpene coloring book that you manufactured from Take Root Training. So we know you're super into terpenes and we wanted to bring this game to you.
Yeah. So essentially, I'm just going to mention a terpene that we have featured on our podcast and you give us a free word association with it. And it's not limited if it's multiple words, don't worry about it. Just it could
worry
be
a little bit. Worry a little bit.
There are no restrictions.
I'm a little worried.
Just a warning, anytime we do any kind of gameplay, I get kind of competitive, even if it's not a competitive game.
This is not a competitive game. And everyone's going to participate, not just you guys, but Phoebe and Grace will be a part of it as well.
Are you going to shout out our names or assign an order?
Ooh, let's assign an order. Why don't we have...
I'll write it in.
I think I'll last.
So,
yes.
Thank you.
So you can one up all of us?
Yeah.
What about Ashley, Riley, Grace, Phoebe?
That's great. Ashley going first. Order. Perfect.
Oh, great. Head the heads.
Yeah. And I volunteered for this, realizing that my dyslexia is pretty bad. So we'll see if I pronounce these correctly.
They're tricky anyway.
They are kind of tricky. Kayla, so thoughtfully left a little voicemail in our group chat of how to properly pronounce them. So aww. I'm hoping...
Go Kayla!
Yeah, go Kayla. Okay, first one up, Ashleen. Caryophylline. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Pepper.
CB1 receptor.
Pain relief.
Long word.
Great. All right, next one. Myrcene.
Ashleen.
Relaxed.
Blue dream.
Not mango.
Chillaxed.
Yeah, I was going to do mango myth or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one, Ashleen. Pining.
Pine tree.
Breathing.
Anxiety.
Oh, totally other end of the spectrum. I was going to say cozy cabin.
There you go.
Okay, Ashleen. All right, limonene?
Yeah. Like daytime, bright.
Anxiety.
Lemon.
Cleaner.
Couple more. Ashleen, we're starting with you again. Terpinolene.
Favorite.
7-Up.
Focus.
Trampoline.
Okay. Next one. Ashleen, Humulene.
Earthy.
Hops.
Toss.
Calm.
Yeah, I just thought of a boat, but I don't know why.
Yay! Yay!
Should we do one more?
Please.
Okay. Sure. Last one. Ooh. Go with a bang. Linalool.
Ooh. A field of lavender.
Ooh.
Relax.
Perfume.
Garden.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Well, that was Terpene Word Association.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks, fun. Kayla. We wish you were here.
I heard you say, Ashleen, favorite for terpinolene. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite terpene, Riley?
I really like myrcene.
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm. And why is terpinolene your favorite, Ashleen?
I just love the like effervescent aroma of it. It's the one that kind of like, I don't know, it like tickles my nose. I don't know. I just love the smell. And then I like how it makes me feel like very up, but not anxious.
Is that why you said 7-Up, Riley?
Because I think it smells like 7-Up. Yeah.
And why is myrcene your favorite, Riley?
I just really like how it calms me down. It like unwinds my cord. You know, like I'm usually just really like wound up tight and it just calms me down and I can like focus and figure out what I need to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, terpenes, paying attention to terpenes has helped us a lot, I think. And because we teased it early in the episode and we have to give it to our listeners, can you briefly explain the ice? The ice concentrate.
Ice water extraction.
Yes. Yeah,
ice water hash. So I can, ice water hash is the process of extracting the terpenes and the terpenoid and the like cannabinoids off of the flower. So you put a bunch of flower in a bag. It's like a mesh bag. Put that in a bunch of ice and you agitate it. And the ice freezes the cannabinoids and the active compounds and breaks that off of the plant material. And you extract that from the plant, or like that separates it from the plant material, and you extract the hash that comes out. Hash is what comes out.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So the ice hash, and that way you're extracting it without having to use any solvents. Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. And it's not just being pressed, it's not just by force. It's the ice bath. Okay,
beautiful.
Now we know.
And then I put it in my ice bong, except this was a joint, so not really, but it's all about the ice,
so just
baby.
Like triple ice.
It really is.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, hey, thank you so much, Ashleen and Riley, for being on the podcast. The Chronic Gals met the Stoner Chicks, and we couldn't be happier. Where can our listeners find you? It's time for you to plug it up.
You can plug.
Okay, awesome. Well, we have a lot of stuff going on. If any bud tenders out there or people who want to be bud tenders are interested in taking our course, it's only $250 and it's self-paced. You can really learn everything that you need to know to get yourself prepared for a career in the cannabis industry. You can find that at takerootraining.com. Along with all of our other training programs. So that's for dispensaries and for brands. If any of them are looking for doing training in-house, they can find our resources there. And then Talking Potheads just came out, our podcast that goes along with our course. So it dives deeper with experts from all across the industry, all across the country, to talk about topics that bud tenders need to know in order to do their job well.
Well, it'd be also great just to listen as a consumer to learn what's the best way of like, how can I interact with my bud tender so I can get the best benefit out of the product I'm getting?
Absolutely.
And on top of that, they have a bud tender line that consumers can also call into and leave anonymous voicemails telling about crazy experiences that they've had in dispensaries.
Love it.
And Do you have that number off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
Listen to Talking Potheads and you'll get that number. I already left an anonymous voicemail on there. So maybe you'll hear my voice at some point. But thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for listening to Stoner Chicks Podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening. And you know what really helps us out is if you can rate and review us 5 stars, please, on Spotify or Apple. And if you do and you write a review, we may just read it like I'm about to right now. Here is the latest review. All hail the Stoner Chicks. I have been an avid listener from basically the beginning. The only reason I haven't written a review yet was because I was listening elsewhere, but elsewhere does not allow you to write reviews. So here goes. Not only do these people create a safe environment for cannabis consumers, but also an educational one, a mix of comedy and excellent entertainment. This podcast has personally helped me learn about how cannabis can be used as an alternative medicine and some science behind cannabis and its properties. I'm a huge fan of the recurring segments and always pleasantly surprised when my favorite one comes around again. So if you're looking for some stoner buddies to listen to or looking for a way to pass the time, this podcast is it. This review was written by Cannablorg.
Oh my God. Celebrity sighting.
Also, wow. From Ireland. So Cannablorg apparently was in Ireland when they wrote this review. That is mind-blowing. So please, Cannablorg and everyone, write us more reviews. Also, you should check out all things Stoner Chicks at our website, Stoner Chicks Podcast. You can buy mugs, you can buy shirts, you can buy hats. That's really fun. Why wouldn't you do that? You can sign up for our email list and find out about shows. Also, you should go to patreon.com/stonerchicks and you can find so much more content. We make multiple episodes a month on there. We have smoke breaks that we put on there. We actually recorded one with this episode and we talk some more Bravo, if that's exciting to you, along with lots of other cool things. So do all of those things. And hey, Stephanie, what do stoner chicks always say?
Well, if you want a good question to ask a bud tender or answer to what you want to do today, question is, I want to go counting starfish. Would that give you guys, you guys a good, would you know what strain?
Blue Dream.
Ooh, yeah. Blue Dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Go smoke your Blue Dream.
Do it.
We love everybody.
Bye. I swear
to you. Bye. Stoner Chicks Podcast is hosted by me, Grace Penzel, Stephanie Thompson, Kayla Teal, and Phoebe Richards. The show is edited by German at Your Podcast Editor, and the theme music is composed by Jessica Damari. Email us your high thoughts at stonerchickspodcast@gmail.com or send us snail mail at P.O. Box 80586, Seattle, Washington 98108. Please follow us on social media at Stoner Chicks Podcast on Instagram or Broccoli Broad.